Welcome to Actionable Insights, a podcast and a show to empower online merchants who want to boost sales. In this episode, I ask the question, are you nervous about an upcoming platform switch, maybe a big new release of software that you are about to make to your website? That's exactly what we're going to discuss in this show now. You see, switching platforms is likely inevitable as you grow. Maybe you are outgrowing your existing platform. Maybe you need more control over your website. Maybe you're on Shopify, for example, and you need to add a whole bunch of extra customizations to it that are not possible on that platform. So you want to switch to Magento. Maybe you're on Magento 1. And as you might be aware, the end of life for that is coming in June next year, 2020. You need to switch either to Magento 2 or another platform. Or maybe, for the sake of example, you want to switch to BigCommerce. No matter what platform A is that you're on right now, or platform B is that you want to switch to, the big question I'm sure that is in your mind is, how do I know that this new website will perform, well, at least as good as the old one? Many answer this question by hiring experts at migrating websites, an agency, hopefully with a good track record. But my goal is here to put the spotlight back on you merchants. What can you do to take control of this process? How can I empower you to also feel comfortable through every step of this journey, regardless of how much or how little you rely on an agency to assist you? That's the question I hope to answer in this next 20 minutes. If you'd like to get more details of what I'm talking about here, I've written pages of notes for this episode. You can find them at swiftotter.com/episode1. SWIFTOTTER.com/episode1. You see, I've had the vantage point of observing a number of migrations gone really bad. We always think of a migration, wow, we're going to a new platform, there's great promises. You know, their marketing department is working overtime to help sell me on this product. And of course, then I should naturally sell more product by going to this new website. Unfortunately, that's not always the case. We are finishing up a project right now on a great platform that would have massively hurt the merchant if somebody wouldn't have come along that would do it correctly. Today, we're going to talk about two key aspects. Number one, ensuring that redirects are in place to maintain a super critical aspect of search engine optimization, or that buzzword, SEO, as I'm sure you've heard. That's number one. Number two is understanding how do my users use my website. Two incredibly fundamental, important aspects. And to be frank, we're just scratching the surface as what should be known with regards to site migrations. But again, looking at this from a merchant's perspective, these are probably the two greatest areas that you can get the most bang for the buck in understanding how these replatform projects work and what you can do to ensure success. Let's talk about number one, ensuring that redirects are in place to maintain a very important part of SEO. I want to tell a story of a jewelry store near you. When I say jewelry store near you, I believe this company has locations all over the United States. And if I was to say the name of it, you probably would immediately recognize it, even if you were international. This is a big name. I was cued into the fact that they had just launched on Magento 2, and being familiar with Magento migrations myself, I like to click around to see how they do it. What can I learn from this? And I've seen some super cool user experiences come out of this type of investigation, just curiosity. One aspect of this, and this is kind of a litmus test for how well a migration is done. And that's one of the reasons I'm sharing my secret sauce here. And I hope every agency knows this, but unfortunately, I've seen enough to know that this is not always the case. But one of the secret tests, this litmus test that I have, is to see, did they implement the redirects correctly? In this case, the easy way to do that is I took a product, the name of a product, like say a diamond ring, and I go search for that product on Google. Just type the name of that product into Google. When I clicked on the link to this jewelry store, it came up with a page that said, not found. Well, but Google said it was found. I mean, Google found it. Like, there was the name of the product in the title, and then there was the description below it. But it was not found. You see, what happened was this jewelry store had a structure of URLs on their website. To get to this product, it was a set URL. It was a set string of path of characters. But on the new website, that path or that string of characters changed, not just the domain name. Well, but actually the domain name would have stayed the same. It was the set of characters to get to that same product had changed. But there was nothing mapping the old set of characters to the new set of characters. What happens as a result of that? Well, customers cannot find what they're looking for. They click back. Google sees that they cannot find this page. And Google struggles to understand this new hierarchy, this new structure on the new website. And as such, the hard-earned results and rewards of moving your page slowly over time up the rankings in Google, the reverse starts happening at a very quick speed. And it is not good. Another example, I was purchasing a gift for my father-in-law. Actually, it is a pair of chaps. Now, he's an outdoorsman. He loves to use a chainsaw. He has almost all the safety equipment, but the chaps, you know, those leather things that go in front of your pants to help protect a chainsaw from an accidental encounter with your leg, which would be disastrous. We were going to get those for him for, I believe it was his birthday, as a gift. We searched for them. We found the perfect pair. And as we were looking, doing some price comparison, we came across this website, clicked into the link from Google, and it said file not found. And I was like, wow, that is strange. I mean, this seems to be a reputable, a good company. Well, turns out, as I was observing their website, and you can look back at the Wayback Machine, they hadn't implemented these redirects. And I believe this migration had happened fairly recently as well. Otherwise, we probably would not have found this website. You see, merchants then start saying, why is my sales going down? Well, the first place to look is Google Analytics. And you can see that, well, customers aren't finding me like they used to find me. So here's an example. Let's say on your old website, swiftauto.com, we'll use as an example here. Let's say the contact us form is contact-us.html. Yeah, pretty typical URL there. But let's say due to this new platform on your new website, the contact form will be swiftauto.com/contact. Well, if somebody by any chance was searching for SwiftAuto contact form in Google, it would be swiftauto.com/contact-us.html. But when they click on that link, because we are now on a new platform, it will present a not found error because the contact form is now located at swiftauto.com/contact. There's no -us.html. What you really want is for this old contact-us.html to seamlessly redirect to the new contact page. And in fact, another big area I've seen that has had problems here, and it's not always just related to migrations, is that you want even redirects, the correct redirects set up at the domain level. So www.swiftauto.com should redirect to just swiftauto.com. http://, so not secure, so it's not HTTPS, http://swiftauto.com should also redirect to https://swiftauto.com. And that is a real mouthful there. But I hope you get the point. These redirects are critical. Now, the question you might be asking, hopefully you're asking, is, but how can I, as a merchant who, maybe you're technical, maybe you're not technical, how can I ensure that this is done correctly? Good question, because I do have an answer for that. There is a tool called Screaming Frog. I know the name is kind of funny, but it's super helpful in this process. So what Screaming Frog does is it can index or go through a website and find every single URL on that website. And then what you can do is you can plug it in and tell it to go assess those URLs on the new website. I'm simplifying it just a little bit here for the sake of the listeners. But basically, you can see, are all of the pages on the old site visible or usable on the new site? And you can get an itemized list of what pages need to be fixed. It's less than $200, and you can save yourself massive amounts of grief and literally send your agent or whoever's doing this migration for you. You can send your agency a list of these URLs that need to be redirected. It's fairly simple. It'll probably take you an hour or two, and it will save you so much time. Search engine optimization, making sure that flows through, is so important. Of course, I hope that you have ensured that the page titles are come over. Meta descriptions have come over. Good content on your descriptions, on page descriptions. Things like that are really important, and those are usually the things that are focused on the most. Those are things that are visible, that an agency can tell you, yeah, we've done this. The search engine optimization of this new website is outstanding. But these hidden things are probably just as important. That is search engine optimization, specifically focusing on redirects. Are you sure that every page on your old website, when it is transitioned to the new website, will redirect, will seamlessly transition users to the page on the new website? You want no broken links through this process. That's number one. Let's talk about number two and user experience. How do users actually use your website? Well, here's a funny question. Do you know how your website works? It's amazing, as I've talked to merchants, how few of them have actually visited the checkout page, placed an order in the last year. You know, in fact, agencies love it when the merchants are placing orders, when the merchant owners, let's put it that way, are placing orders, because it really simplifies and streamlines the process, because these people start seeing that there is friction in the checkout process. It isn't as easy as we would all like for it to be. Here's a question. Do you know who even uses your website? Yes, it might be a B2B website, for example, but these people that are using your website, maybe they're interested in quick sales. They're searching for commodities. They're looking to just get on your website, purchase a product or products so they can resell it and be done with it. Have it arrive at their office in a couple of days. Or maybe it's selling products that they need to actually get approval from their manager. Even in the B2B world, which is so different than the B2C world, even these two categories represent massively different aspects to how a website is built or utilized. Another aspect of this, something to consider, is the maturity of your old website. If you're like most, in fact, I was talking to somebody a couple days ago who they launched their website on Magento 1 in 2008. And this person is trying to figure out how they, or whether they migrate to Magento 2 or what platform they do, because budget is a big deal. This person's website was very mature and they knew quite a little of what customers wanted for the website, how to browse the website, how to use the website. But here's the problem. Your website has experienced a good deal of maturity, and you've probably invested, if you tallied up, quite a little money over the course of however many years to get your website to this place. Well, now that you have to re-platform, you have to migrate to another system, how are you going to reinvest that same amount of money? Well, it's expensive, and you probably don't want to invest that much money. Well, here's the thing. A beautiful but functionally deficient website sells fewer products than even a website that looks like it just stepped out of the 90s. But that works, that's fast, and provides the features that users want. You see, just because you are going to a new platform does not mean, oh, wow, this is the opportunity to slap on a new theme. It's going to look beautiful, and of course, I'm going to sell more. Merchants, it does not work like that. The only way you can assure yourself that this new website is going to function better, function meaning sell more, is first, if you take the time to review it in a customer's eyes, not what you think is going to look nicer and prettier, but if you take the time to review and say, how do my customers use this? Who is my customer and how are they going to use it? But then actually get your customers involved. This is like insurance. This is peace of mind. Because you're going to sit and listen to these users, whether they're your friends, whether they're your customers, hopefully they're your customers, you're going to sit there and listen as they work through the website, the experience, and you're going to hear things wow, I never considered that before. Wow, this was actually a feature that they like on my old website that is now missing on this new website. Are you confident that the user experience, not the overall aesthetics, wow, this new website is just beautiful, but the actual user experience on this new website is at least the same, if not better? And I'm not talking about all the features, okay? Making sure that the wish list is as prominent on the new website as it was the old website, or this custom built feature. In fact, for the sake of cost, we often have to pare back these features that are available on the new website. But I'm talking about at least, let's say the 80%, you know, the 80-20 rule. So the 80% of what users utilize on the old website, making sure that is functional and easy to access, or easier to access than on the old website. So how do you do this? Well, as I kind of alluded to just a minute ago, browse the website, this new website that you're working on, browse it with the eyes of a customer. You have probably, maybe on the new website, worked through it 100 or 1,000 times, and you know exactly where you're supposed to click. You know that add to cart is right there, even though, never mind that the add to cart button might be hard to naturally see. In fact, recently on a store we were working on, I had that very same experience. We've been working on this site. It's another site we're working to get ready to launch. And I noticed as I was doing something completely unrelated that this add to cart button was hard to see. It blended in and it was literally not obvious at all. Now I'm not talking about making it red and flashing, but at least visible. Is that true for your products? Or is there a clear, consistent call to action on just about every page, or at least I should say every page that it makes sense? The add to cart button, is it visible? Is it evident on maybe the category pages if that applies in your situation? For sure, the product pages. Browse this website how a customer would look at it. And you say, well, that's kind of hard to do. Well, yeah, it would be. So the next even better thing to do, it does take some time, is to work through this new website with customers. If you're not comfortable with that, start with some friends. In my experience, 3 to 5, I would say 5 is probably the magic number of people you can work through scenarios with. Say the new website, say, here, find this product on the new website. Check out with this product on the new website. At least just watch their screen. Even if you Skype and screen share, observe what they are doing, how they are doing it. Take them out to a coffee shop. Of course, bring your laptop. Let them browse for this product and find it. And while they do so, I suggest 2 important things. First, ask them to speak their thoughts out loud. Tell them that you want to hear what they are thinking, and you will be taking notes on that. Number 2, keep your mouth shut. I know that does not sound very kind the way I say that, but it is so important. Here, you as the merchant, you have invested so much money, at least time, into this new experience, into this re-platform. You want to make it great. And you've made a whole bunch of decisions getting to this place. But now is the time to keep your mouth shut. Don't tell them, oh, this is how you're supposed to do it. Well, have you thought about clicking up here? Because ultimately, you are not going to be able to babysit every single one of your customers as they are browsing your website. They're going to be independent of you and your conversation. And so this is your chance to, in person, watch how these people use your website. This is dynamite. This is gold opportunity that you have right in front of you. So take up. Utilize this opportunity. Observe, how do people use your website? Well, this new website. You could also do the same thing on your old website as well. Listen. Now, I might want to add one other thing as well. Try to separate the comments that these testers say about, oh, well, I don't like this color here. Oh, there's a couple of pixels that this element is out of whack over here. Ignore those comments. Or I mean, okay, write them down, save it for later as nice to have features that you can do weeks after the site has been launched. You're not looking for their expert opinion on how the site works. You are looking for what can they not find? What are the problems that they run into on this website? That was number 2, user experience. Do you understand how customers browse your website? In the show notes online, I go through an example of a commodity store online that presents a very beautiful image, well, pictures of this commodity, and yet you can't even find their shopping cart on the website. That is a huge problem in user experience. Well, when we did an audit for them, we picked up on it immediately. I can almost guarantee if the owner of this, or at least the e-commerce manager of this company, would have done the two things I just shared about in user experience, they would have immediately flagged that up with the agency, and that problem would have been solved. As it was, they called us in, they wanted us our help, because their new website, this website that was supposed to make them more money, was only, I say only, 20% down in revenue over year. If you think about it, tiny 1 to 2% problems. So a problem, a visual deficiency or a piece of functionality that causes 1 to 2% of your users to exit the website saying, this is not worth it. I'm going to go to another website. 1 to 2%. Okay, maybe a merchant could handle that. It's not ideal by any stretch. But what if you start adding 1% to 2% and then there's another 1% to 2%, another 1% to 2%, another 1% to 2%. It doesn't take long to get to 20%. And at 20%, that is a huge part of even a marketing budget. You know, for example, this one merchant that I shared about, they were no longer able to engage in email marketing simply because they were investing so much time to try to get this website back up to where it should have been. It's a cascading effect because then they had lost significant revenue from no longer engaging in this email marketing. User experience is so critical. And I hope in future episodes, we're going to delve into this even more. How can you ensure that your user experience is excellent on your website? But for right now, these two things that you can do today, even if you are not migrating, even if you are not working on a transition to a new platform, doing these two things in the user experience category, they'll probably net you even more. Why? Because it's so easy to miss stuff. When we're on the website all day, every day, it is so easy to miss things. As we discussed here today, number one, ensure that redirects are in place, are done correctly. And if they're not, talk to your agency, your content manager, your developer, whoever is managing this migration to ensure that this is done correctly. And number two, user experience. How do users use your website? Can you look at your website with a fresh pair of eyes? And do this user testing thing that I talked about. Engage your friends. Better yet, engage your customers. Understand what they are looking for, how they are trying to use your website. Friends, I want to thank you for listening. If you have any comments, questions, please feel free to reach out to me. My email is joseph@swiftotter.com. I'd love to hear your thoughts. If you can think of somebody that would be excellent for this show who has an incredible story to share, maybe a story of a tool that they use, please send that to me. If you would like more information about this, is what we've been talking about, detailed illustrations and a tutorial on how to use Screaming Frog on your website, go to swiftotter.com/episode1. And finally, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. It's super easy, and your favorite podcast aggregation software, just click subscribe to it. I'd love for you to be a part of this effort to empower merchants. If you're a merchant, to be empowered. If you're a developer, I think even today, there should be something that you could have gained out of this. There's so much value, so much important in ensuring that merchants are properly supported to do even better in selling online. Again, thanks for listening. Talk to you later.